Welcome to Just a Minute. There, Sue Perkins here, and as the Minute Wars fades away, it's an utter pleasure to welcome you to Just a Minute. Time, of course, to introduce you to the four brilliantly talented people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They are Desiree Birch, Giles Brandreth, Emma Siddy, and Josie Lawrence. Please cheer for all four of them. I'll be asking them all to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating. Let's see how that goes. Right, Desiree, we're going to start with you. Okay. And the subject on the card is the last time I went to IKEA. Can you speak without hesitating, repeating or deviating on the last time I went to IKEA, starting now?
The last time I went to IKEA cannot be adequately described unless I tell you about the second to last time I went to IKEA. This time I went to IKEA, I started with the meatballs, which is important because you need the power of meat to get through the maze of consumerism that is IKEA. And I discovered the best hack for going to IKEA that I can share. Go outside and walk in through the exit. Take IKEA from behind. This way, you pass the tills directly to the discounts while you still have your energy to resist the sales. Then you go up. Suddenly, you're in towels. You're seeing couples argue, and you go, "That's funny. I'm not you." Then you proceed and pick out the things that you want from IKEA without the stress of having had to survive the corn maze of this zag and that zig, trying to get one Kallax bookshelf.
Desiree is a very, very experienced player of the game and just hadn't got that moment, and it's delightful. I'm so happy for her. It's brilliant. Oh, everything's downhill from now on.
Yes, it is. Only the pure resentment of shopping at IKEA could have gotten me through that. I didn't even realize I had so much more.
Double bubble points for you. You obviously were speaking as the whistle went and you did the full 60 seconds. I couldn't be happier. Giles, follow that.
Oh, I can't. These days, that is as close as I get to an erotic chant.
Right?
Oh!
Giles, what's the matter with you?
What?
That's the subject on the card. What's the matter with you? Please, finally put that matter to rest so that we all know, and your time, my lovely, starts now.
Albert Einstein was fascinated by the nature of matter. And whenever he encountered a fellow scientist, he would say, "What's the matter with you?" And the pair of them would sit down over a hot dog or possibly some shopping that they'd just done at IKEA, and they would exchange views about matter. What's the matter with you? Is there a more profound or intriguing question to be asked? Possibly, but not when it's Bert and his scientific chums. They want to know, what's the matter with you? And matter itself is the most remarkable phenomenon. It comes from outer space down to us, descending through meatballs, curiously. Everything is full of matter. What's the matter with you? I say to Desiree, and she replies to me, "I didn't understand the question. Do try to speak in English." I then mention that I am not a scientist by nature, but I am a phenomenal person who knows a great deal about matter.
The show where everyone gets a minute now, because now I feel sad.
No, don't you worry about
I think my favourite part of that was Albert Einstein.
Stein.
Do you really say Einstein?
Yes, because often when we used to meet, I mean, I agree, I was quite... he would offer me a beer, and I'd simply say, "Albert Einstein for me."
You were speaking as the whistle went, and you were speaking for the full minute, so double bubble again.
Well done.
Thank you.
What a start. Right, Emma. What have we got in store for you? Now, your subject is Bridget Jones.
Ooh.
Yeah, what can you say about Bridget Jones, I wonder? Well, your time starts now.
Poor old Bridget Jones. She was so embarrassed about those big knickers, but I would argue they're the only kind of pants you should wear. Forget your tangas, don't touch Brazilians, thongs go straight up your butt, G-strings are too tight. Make sure those drawers are absolutely enormous, because otherwise you are going to have a permanent wedgie. Been there, done that. Got the T-shirt in the shape of a tiny pair of thingy-majigs. Renee Zellweger plays Bridget Jones. Renee means rebirth.
Ah, yes.
Fair enough.
Do you know what? That was the most exquisite non-repetition of pants I've ever heard. You went through the full lingerie kind of suite there. It was a wonderful drive-by.
It's a subject very close to my heart and bum, so thank you very much.
I suppose mine is so big, they are close to my heart. They really are. They pretty much cover my entire torso. And I'm happier for it. Giles, your challenge.
Damn. Repetition of Renee.
Yes. 27 seconds remaining, Giles. What can you tell us about Bridget Jones? Starting... dread to think. I just dread this one. 27 seconds, Giles. Time starts now.
I sometimes go to Bridget Jones parties. They're fun because you dress in your pyjamas. I hope to be mistaken for Hugh Grant or Colin Firth, but Jim Broadbent is normally the figure they think suits me. I don't mind that because Bridget Jones is a remarkable character. All the characters... I wasn't even going to repeat it. I was going to say characters. I'm stumbling on myself now.
You did self-stumble it.
I know, and I haven't done that for years.
No. Emma, you challenged.
Yeah, it was the hesitation, the character.
Yeah.
You said yourself.
Yes. Well, listen, you get the point and the subject with 7 seconds remaining. Back to you. Bridget Jones, starting now.
Bridget Jones smokes and she feels bad about that. She also is worried about her weight, and she shouldn't be. She's gorgeous. In fact...
Well done, Emma. You're speaking as the whistle went, and you get the point. And Josie, we are with you now. And I won't lie, I'm a little worried about this one. Your subject is... Oh, I can always rely on Sue Perkins too. Got 60 seconds on. I can always rely on Sue Perkins too. And your time starts now.
I can always rely on Sue Perkins to just make me feel happy. She's one of the most extraordinary women I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. Hysterically funny, and wit comes out of her mouth like water shooting over the Niagara Falls. She is brilliant at telling an anecdote, always there for you, kind, humble, unassuming, and I was influenced by her. She did something on television called Maestro and came first. Absolutely fantastic. The next year they asked me to do it. So, because of Sue Perkins, I said yes. I came third, though I rarely tell people it was out of four. The thing you can't deny about Sue Perkins is if you ever met her in a dark alleyway, she would be a beacon of light that would take...
Josie, speaking as the whistle went, gets the extra point, gets another point for speaking for the full 60 seconds, and I'm not good at taking compliments, but that was very beautiful.
You have gone bright.
I've gone really red. I can't cope with that, so let's move on. I did worry. We said, if you met her in a dark alley, I was like, where's this going? All right, listen, that's the end of that round, and let's have a look at some scores. Oh, it is tight. I have to say, one of the most extraordinary first rounds we've had. Yeah. Everyone is on fine form. We have 3 people in second place, Desiree, Josie and Emma, all tying for that spot, and just 1 point ahead in first, Mr. Giles Brandreth. Right, Desiree, we are back with you again. Hey. And the subject is the absolute stone-cold icon that is Dame Helen Mirren.
Oh, I know.
What can you tell us about Dame Helen Mirren without hesitating, repeating or deviating in 1 minute, starting now?
Helen Mirren is not the kind of dame that Frank Sinatra would have sung about in Guys and Dolls, but I guarantee old Blue Eyes would have crooned a tune in her honor. She is considered incomparable amongst actors and women walking the face of the earth. Helen Mirren, however, is a person like any one of us. She has awkward moments. Sometimes she's looking at her phone when the light turns green and everyone honks at her as she speeds ahead. She occasionally goes to a Starbucks where she gives her order and some 19-year-old shouts out, "Ellen!" And she says, "That's not me! I'm Helen Mirren, for crying out loud! Give me my macchiato!" But she silences herself because she is a poised woman. Helen Mirren is...
Yeah, I knew it when I said
it. Sorry, Dad. I think repetition of woman.
Oh, my God. She is a repetition of woman, to be fair to me, though. She's at least once, twice, three times one.
Let's hear it.
But, yeah.
Oh, that was an extraordinary run. 47 seconds you went there. We could have been on for a double bubble there, but
yes.
Do you know what? It was a correct challenge, so yes. Not taking anything away from you, Emma, in that moment. You get the subject, which is Dame Helen Mirren. 13 seconds. Please, your time starts now.
I say this with light and love. Helen Mirren is a boring name. You would never think she was quite as extraordinary as she is. The Helen of it all feels a little bit dull. The Mirren adds to the dullness.
Speaking of which, when you get that point, Emma, well done. And Giles, you are up next. Your next subject is Caught in the Act.
Oh!
It's up to you to frame that in whichever way you or your lawyer see fit.
No.
You've got 60 seconds on Caught in the Act, starting now.
My wife has introduced closed-circuit television at home. And consequently, I was recently caught in the act of building a shrine to Dame Helen Mirren, the late Queen, Josie Lawrence, and all my other heroines, including Joan of Arc, and every female scientist, both before and after, the great Marie Curie. And so this thing I was caught in the act of creating was full of iconic figures, beautiful figurines showing these creatures. When I got round to doing Desiree, my goodness, there was a streetcar attached, because I thought that was rather a clever kind of pun. So I introduced that to give an American element. Caught in the act I was. I was lighting one of the bougie, which is a French word for the one that I said earlier in English. The flame lit up, and I was so excited. Caught in the act, I said to my wife, I don't care if I've been caught. What? Oh, Joseph. Wife. Wife!
I'm sorry, but it's
And you were one of the people I was worshipping. The gods, when they turn on you, you know it's all over.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so sorry, but it's such a big word in a way.
It is,
repetition of wife.
I don't know how to break this to you, Giles, but there's just 4 seconds remaining. But it was a great challenge by Josie and an absolutely accurate one, Shoji Bangs are rights there. Josie, what can you tell us about Caught in the Act, please, in 4 seconds, starting now?
The most terrible thing happened to me when I was unfortunately caught in the act.
Josie there speaking as the whistle went, gets the points. Emma, you get the next subject, which is taking a passport photo. You've got 60 seconds on the subject. Taking a passport photo. Your time starts now.
I've heard on the grapevine that you can now take a digital passport photo yourself using your iPhone. No, I say, don't do it, not allowed. The ritual of the passport phone...
Oh, Giles, yes.
Yeah,
totally. It was, but I was very into that. Giles did interrupt it, but that's fair because that is the rules. Hesitation, a correct challenge. 46 seconds remaining, Giles, for you. On taking a passport photo, your time starts now.
I love this experience because when I'm inside the booth taking a passport photograph, I recreate that magic moment from the end of The Wizard of Oz when the man himself is struggling with the linen and reveals that he is just a human being with a wheel. It reminds me of our humble humanity. And indeed, when the picture pops down into the little thing where you catch it and you see these 4 photographs of yourself and...
No...
Emma, you buzzed.
I was wrong. Photograph repeated, but he pluralised it. So I do take it back.
Thank you.
I mean, the wider point for me would be really that it takes being in a passport photo booth for Giles to realise he's just a human being. He goes in there like a god, but is levelled only by the experience of the unblinking lens of the photo booth. What it must be like to live as you, Giles.
OK, that's not a correct challenge. You've got 18 seconds, Giles is back with you, starting now.
Benjamin Britten wrote a most unusual opera called Taking a Photograph, and it was performed in the east of England at Aldborough in 1957. It was not a huge success. Peter Pears...
Josie has buzzed you, Josie.
Why is happening?
It was laughter, but he was hesitating.
So what?
It's a nonsense, whatever that
is. I wasn't sure I was hitting the right notes.
Josie, with 3 seconds remaining, that is a correct challenge because there was a lot of bluster going on at the end there. So, can you tell us, please, about taking a passport photo in 3 seconds, starting now?
I get very depressed when I have to have my photo taken because it will be...
Josie, you spoke as the whistle went. You get the point and you get the next subject, which is The Great Gatsby. What can you tell us about that extraordinary, seminal novel without hesitating, repeating or deviating? The Great Gatsby, 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, it was a long time ago when I read The Great Gatsby. I was at school still. But it is an incredible novel written by...
Giles.
Not so long ago, I know her age.
That was a compliment, I think. Was it?
It's weird, isn't it? Because whenever Giles compliments, it sounds...
like a threat.
Yes. Yeah. Being creepy is not in the rules of just a minute. So you can toady all you want. My predecessor knew how to demark the rules, and they are hesitating, repeating or deviating, not flattering. Right? You can't buzz in for a bit of willy-nilly flattery.
Yeah.
Especially not with your willy-nilly. So I'm going to let Josie continue. 51 seconds, starting now.
Written by F. Scott Fitzgerald, and it must be about 100 years ago now, cos it is a very, very old...
Oh, no!
I was thrown because of him complimenting me.
I know. It takes a while to get over it, doesn't it? Emma, your challenge.
Repetition of very.
Very, very.
Listen, we can't...
I do a very, very nearly every show.
I always used to do it myself. Very, very was the thing I used to do. Listen, correct challenge, Emma. You get the subject. 41 seconds on The Great Gatsby, starting now.
I can't remember a single thing about The Great Gatsby. Yes, I read it, but I think it was boring. And I know everyone's going to say, no, it's amazing, then tell me the plot. No one can tell me a single thing about The Great Gatsby because it's actually a terrible novel.
Josie.
Repetition of actually.
Oh.
Yeah. Have it. I was struggling.
Have it. Classic Radio 4 bands, have it. Right, listen. 21 seconds, Josie. It's back with you, The Great Gatsby, starting now.
Well, The Great Gatsby was a billionaire millionaire and he had a neighbour who came to visit, but The Great Gatsby was in love with Rose.
Giles, you buzzed.
Hesitation.
Yes.
Oh, you're back in the game. Look at
that
your
was really
steely now. You were in the wind now, aren't you? You had a little bit of bounce for a while and you felt a little relaxed. But he's in win mode again, isn't he? Oh.
He's in win mode.
Yeah, he's in win mode.
Giles has entered the chat.
Yes.
Can I just ask, though? It's Rose. It is Rose.
Daisy, I thought.
It's Daisy.
Yeah. Daisy Buchanan.
I knew it was a flower.
This is my point, not a memorable book.
Sacrilege. Benjamin Britten and F. Scott Fitzgerald in one show being denigrated. Right, it's a correct challenge. 11 seconds remain. And The Great Gatsby's with you, Giles, starting now.
And Josie, as ever, was on the money when she said it was first published almost 100 years ago. October 1924 was the date of its first appearance. The same day as it happens as...
All right. Right, so that's the end of our second round. Let's have a little look and see where we're at with the scores. In fourth position, we've got Desiree, but it's all very tightly bunched this week. We've got Emma in third, Giles in second, and in first position, Josie Lawrence. I can feel Giles developing hypertension as we speak. Desiree, we begin this round with your subject, and it is, it was character building. What can you tell us in 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on it was character building? Your 60 seconds starts now.
As we laid on the floor of the theater studies building, trying not to giggle as we were warming up, we were advised to remember it was character building to get deeply into our bodies in order to begin Meisner technique. We had to spend an hour breathing very specifically into our chests, our stomachs, back into our rib cage, back down into our faces, and I said, back! Too many times, damn it.
Giles.
Repetition of back. Oh.
Indeed, it was a repetition of back. Beautifully done up to that point. Giles, you've got the subject to remind you it was character building. I dread to think what's coming next. Really do have a genuine chilly hand of fear approaching. 34 seconds, please, starting now.
I like a character building. The St. Pancras Hotel in London is one I would choose. The Eiffel Tower in Paris. The Taj Mahal, both a wonderful restaurant and a character building. Great architects, in my view, always give us a character building. You think of Richard Rodgers, wrote some musicals, but the thing I remember most about him was the wonderful character building he gave us when he came to London town and transformed it into something truly beautiful. A character building could be an igloo if you are in...
Giles speaking as the whistle went means he gets the point. Emma, you get the next subject. I need to up my game. Let's see what you've got to say on that subject, and your time starts now.
I need to up my game, specifically when it comes to doing the laundry. I'm so bad at it. My bag of clothes that needs doing is always full and...
Giles.
Is it a bit harsh? A repetition of doing?
It's a bit harsh.
Well, listen, I would say this, OK? If Emma had played the game even a tenth the number of times you have, then...
I'd say let's develop the... I agree. We want more doings. We want to know about our doings.
I mean, a third doing, you'll be right as rain to buzz in. That's all I'll say. 49 seconds, Emma, you get to continue and your time starts now.
I need to up my game when it comes to my washing machine. I don't know how it works and it should be simple for me to understand it, but I really can't. And sometimes I put whites in there expecting that they're going to get cleaner, but they come out looking dirtier. Am I an idiot or do I just need to up my game? I'm begging someone to tell me how to wash clothes in a way that always works. There's silence because people are thinking that I'm crazy. I'm doing my best. Why is it this hard to make my life better when it comes to laundry? That was very real. Sorry.
Are you okay?
Obviously not.
No. Josie, your challenge. What was your challenge?
Repetition of laundry.
It was indeed a repetition of
laundry. That's the trouble with laundry.
Yeah, Josie, correct challenge. Well done. You've got 16 seconds to tell us, I need to up my game starting now.
I need to up my game, but I'm always a bit like Vivian Leigh as Scarlett O'Hara. I'll think about it tomorrow, but I so need to up my game. I need to get up earlier when I'm not working. I do adore my lions. There's something...
And now, sadly, we are entering the final round. I know, but it's a cracker of a subject, and it's with you, Josie. That's a real head-scratcher. You're going to smash it. OK, what can you tell us about that? 60 seconds, no hesitating, repeating or deviating. Your time starts now.
I suppose when somebody is trying to think of what to do or they're thrown by something, they automatically put their hands above their head and start to scratch their scalp. One of the most famous people, I think, that probably did this was Stan Laurel with his... But when I was travelling in...
I'm sorry.
Giles. Oh, I knew it. Yes.
I was waiting for him.
What? With repetition of...
No, so that is all one word.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one. But I'm going to go with Josie. I mean, I think she sold me a pretty convincing case for that being one word. I mean, the word itself was absolute babble, sure. But I'm into it. So you keep the subject. 37 seconds remaining. That's a real head-scratcher starting now.
But I tell you what is a real head-scratcher. Have you seen them? They're metal with a sort of little twirly bit there and then fronds coming down and you put it over your head, up and down, and it's one of...
Giles.
Repetition of down.
Oh, yes, it's true. Mm. Good, because I was getting tired.
It's a correct challenge. 18 seconds remaining. What can you tell us about a real head-scratcher, Giles, starting now?
A real head-scratcher is a very exciting thing to have in a bath because it makes a change from the loofah. I use mine over my back, though it is a head-scratcher, and then my shoulders and my thighs. And between the toes, there is a most extraordinary sensation when you take a head-scratcher and use it for a purpose for which it was not designed.
Giles, well, speaking as the whistle went, and he got that all-important point, which I suspect the show may well have been hanging on. Right, let's look at the scores. In fourth position, we've got Desiree, then we've got Emma, then Josie, and just 1 point ahead in what was a titanic battle. The winner tonight, Giles Brandreth! Right, my lovelies, we have to leave you there, but not before I have sent hearty congratulations to the magnificent players of the game today, to Desiree Birch, Giles Brandreth, Emma Siddy and Josie Lawrence. Of course, it goes without saying, we are utterly indebted to Ian Mester and to our beloved Nicholas Parsons. We also thank Sarah Nichols, who blew her whistle so delicately in my lughole. The producer was George Keating. It was a BBC Studios production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks for listening wherever you are, and please... do join us again next time we play Just a Minute.